Kane, our conversation starter for the all-new Kia Sportage, which has been unleashed. Again, enough footy getting around that we can really drill into our domestic footy code for a moment. For our best contributor, while we get stuck into our footy chat, you don't go empty-handed. A double pass to this Friday's race meeting at Moonee Valley. Crowds are back for Ladbrokes Friday Night Lights at the Valley. Get your tickets at thevalley.com.au. And one of these beauties, a Spinal Ease pillow. Visit spinaleze.com.au. This had been coming, Kane, but sadly, and I was saddened when I heard this come through yesterday, that Brad Shepherd, West Coast defender, has been forced to retire. Symptoms from two concussions sustained last season continued to plague him, and it's another one for the concussion file, sadly, and a very good player too.
Yeah, I was really surprised and taken aback when was first speculated, because he played 20 games, so it wasn't something, it sort of just bobbed up. I know he had two concussions late in the year, but was, for me, unexpected. And even through his words, he was hoping to be there this year and he did everything that he could. But he's been deemed medically unfit to continue playing. Let's have a listen to what he said to West Coast media yesterday.
The emotion is definitely heightened. Seeing the guys for the first time today as a playing group and the coaches and support staff. You know, I never thought that I was going to be in this position. I was still hopeful that I was going to play and come back to pre-season initially, and yeah, things turned the other way pretty quickly, and it sort of makes it real being in the surroundings of the football club, being around your teammates, your coaches, support staff. It makes this whole situation real. Felt a lot of weight has been on my shoulders since that last game against Fremantle. I think having those prolonged concussion symptoms have been around for 3 months now. I think post-game still got it, so it's 3 months down the track, which has led me to go through some quite rigorous testing to figure out what's going on, and unfortunately they found it through what they did find is, one, there's a brain there, so I was pretty pumped with that, but secondly it's just the risk of playing AFL football, and you know, I was deemed unfit to continue.
So at 30, he's finished. Now he's the second West Coast Eagle in the space of 12 months on the back of Dan Venables, a young man also horrifically having to retire as well after one that he copped at training. So the broader discussion is, where are we at with concussion? Now, you've done a lot of work with Kingy recently, and I don't think there's been a stronger voice on concussion in terms of AFL media than Kingy, and he says that it's the biggest issue facing the game. My view is it gets to a point where you can only do so much. And I think we're at that point now. Now, I heard Brad Scott speak that they are going to crack down on accidental head knocks this year, and they're going to try and outlaw that. But how deep can you go? Because, I mean, at what point does it get to? I remember speaking to Gary and Tim about it after Patrick Dangerfield, I think, cleaned up Jake Kelly earlier on in the year with an accidental head clash. Are we going to get to the point where you rule things out that make AFL footy as good as it is? Now, I have complete sympathy and I understand the seriousness of it, but the AFL can't do much more and make the game any safer than what they have besides taking out the high mark or besides penalising teammates for accidental contact with their own team, or what if a player tries to smother the ball and gets kicked in the head? I just don't know how much further we can go to make the game any safer. It's never been safer right now.
Well, there's a place where the AFL can go a lot further, and we can go infinitely further, and that's the protocols once a player has been concussed, because 12 days isn't enough. And you listen to enough experts, and we've had a heap of them on this program and on this station right over the course of the last few years in particular. 12 days is not enough. There needs to be a greater science behind how long players should be stood out of the game for. No one likes to see players missing. But this is where I think we need to get a lot better at it. And hopefully we do. Hopefully this is just the start of it. And we get to a stage now where you get a concussion and there's a greater testing mechanism behind it, more science behind it. And those players are missing more football for their life. This is for their life after footy. Like Brad Shepherd's 30 years of age. Now, the concussion that he sustained, you mentioned it snuck up on you. It was round 22 against Fremantle. It was delayed onset. He had one earlier against Carlton. He's still suffering symptoms from that 3 months on. That's quality of life stuff.
100%. I'm fully with you on that. But something in me says you sign up to play a dangerous sport.
Yep.
You accept the risks that go with it. And that's the case across all sports. I mean, the NFL have had major issues. They've clamped down on that. The game is to a point now where you're going to get some concussions and it's unavoidable. Like, you can go up for a high mark, you can drop it and come back down and smash your head on the ground and get concussed. Now, that's no fault of the AFL. That's just the game that we play. Now, to your point, I'm not sure they fully understand yet the science behind concussion and how long is enough to be out of playing. Like, because every player
there's not
is
enough testing behind it.
Well,
there's not
and
enough.
And every individual is different. So Brad Shepherd copped that knock and he's still suffering symptoms 3 months on. Another player might have copped that knock and been fined 3 days later. So every individual reacts differently. It goes to the point of how many times you've been concussed in the past as opposed to how you're going to react. And the more concussions you get, the easier it is to get concussed and all of that. But I'm not sure they fully know. My concern is, though, we're going to cut too deep in the game and we are going to lose what makes the game great. Because I saw Callum Ward get poleaxed in a prelim final in 2016 from the knee of an opposition player. That's the most dangerous thing you can do on a footy field.
There's still room for accidents.
Completely fine.
There's still room for accidents.
Well, they're saying they're going to cut down on accidents. And we saw, you know, the David McKay one this year. Complete accident. Like, so I just hope those types of things, players aren't penalised, because you've got to remember, this is the toughest game to play in the world. Players are making instant decisions. They've never been greater athletes running at full speed. And we're going to slow it down on replay to within an inch of its life and penalise players for exactly that, accidents, when you sign up to play a dangerous sport.
And this is why Darren Burgess has been big on the things that he's been big on, taking away the risk
speed,
of high velocity impact and the speed in the game. And he wants some mechanisms put in place to stop that. Pick 7 in the 09 draft too, Brad Shepherd, very underrated player, played on talls, morphed into an elite stopper of small forwards. And don't forget, he missed the 2018 premiership over Collingwood. He did his hamstring in the first quarter of the qualifying final just weeks earlier. So he's had no luck in his career, basically. Deserved a lot more out of the game.
Yeah, so in that grand final, the Eagles were staying at another hotel. The players that weren't playing were staying at the hotel that I was staying at. And I walked in the morning of the grand final and Brad Shepherd and Andrew Gaff were sitting there having breakfast together on that morning. I thought, gee, I wonder what's going through those players' minds. So a bit of luck with your career. But 2018, he was the player of the final series, as you said, so reliable. He was an All-Australian and had 5 years left in him. So it's a massive shame. And what does it mean just in terms of the intricacies with their list now, Sammy? Obviously, the Eagles not going to be able to replace him.
No, well, they've got the supplemental selection period window that obviously remains open pretty much right up until the bounce of the ball come March. So there is a scubby. You're not going to get another Brad Shepherd at this stage, no doubt. Tony's on the road, though. He wants to join us. Welcome to Summer Breakfast there, Tone.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Look, this is always going to be a contentious issue as long as the game's going to keep going. Now, the only way to completely fix the situation, you're always going to get your accidental head knocks. And as you mentioned earlier, if someone comes in, tries to smother a kick and gets the kick in the head, the only way you're going to fix it is to adopt some sort of a method like the American gridiron football have got to protect the head. Now, not so much as to the extent of what they've got, but to adopt something here where it's going to be made compulsory, where a player must wear some sort of protective headwear, either a rubber or a foam or whatever, to actually protect your head, because it's always going to keep going. And the game's getting quicker as we move forward. And it's simply going to ruin people's careers if we don't do something about it before it gets out of hand.
Tony, I'm just not sure that's going to solve the issue, though, because the NFL have had more issues than any sport, and they wear those big helmets. So the science behind helmets, not a scientist, Sammy, I'm not sure they're conclusive that they actually do anything.
No, they're not. No, they're not, because the brain inside the skull still moves with a helmet. I mean, this is what the experts say. You can't stop the rattling of the brain inside the skull, to use a non-scientific phrase. So the jury's out.
Just a text coming through. Get your facts right. Callum Ward was knocked out by the ball.
No.
Get your facts right. He was knocked out by Zane Cordy's knee.
Go back
in 2016. Yep. So go back and have a look at that. That was horrific. And no way he would have played the following week. Had the Giants won that game.
And I mentioned Darren Burgess. So what he's saying is, so the interchange came back from 90 to 75 before the season just gone. He's saying lower that again. He said it's not impacting the game massively from an injury point of view, but he thinks it's unnecessary, in fact, to have that many rotations. He said, bring it down. The players would be out on the ground more as well, but he also said less rotations would potentially slow the game down. And as I said, lessen the risk of those high-velocity collisions, because he said those concussion collisions, the sharp change of direction stuff, the more impactful injuries on the game, more importantly, the players themselves. So they want to slow it down a bit.
It was a brilliant chat that you had with him, and there's been a lot of opposition to lowering interchanges, and that's been coming from the players mainly, and I reckon those that are playing the game, because they want the rest and they think the game is better with speed. But I've been on it for a while, and KB's been on it longer than anyone, that lower interchanges has a number of benefits, because not only the things that you mentioned, but when the opposition can't pressure the ball and provide that frontal pressure, the skills will improve, because players got time and space, they'll make better decisions. Now, if the opposition are fatigued, they can't put the pressure on the ball carrier, skills will actually increase. So what Burgeau said was spot on. The other thing he said that was spot on is that the high performance guys aren't consulted with any rule changes.
Yeah.
He said that to you, didn't he? Which I find staggering as well. I mean, those designed to prepare the players to play, you would think would have a significant say on the state of the game.
Aaron's text in off the temper text. Incredibly concerned which medical experts are clearing Paddy McCartan to play in the AFL again, should he get the opportunity. Multiple concussions, and we've heard stories from him for how for weeks on end he had to stay in dark rooms with no light and struggled to go out. His symptoms went on for months, but it appears the AFL would be happy to have him registered as an AFL player. How can this possibly be allowed? That text from Aaron. We need... Appreciate your text, Aaron. We need to take a break, though, Volcano. But there's plenty of footy to talk about on the other side. Jacob Townsend called time as well in his career yesterday, albeit for very different reasons. Cyril Rioli's had some comments to make around Hawthorn playing up in Darwin at the top end. There's some injury concerns at North Melbourne. And Jake Lever's spoken after that dramatic vision on Monday of him collapsing at Demons training. So there's plenty more still ahead of us. This is the Kia Conversation Starter on Summer Breakfast. Be a part of it. 1300 736 736.
Kogan. No annual fees, tantalising rewards, just great value. Visit koganmoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer breakfast.
Oh, the Champions League action is underway. Real Madrid, Kane, your mob, 1-0 up against Internacional. Tony Kroos, the scorer there. They're up 1-0, and Ajax is the other match with a score. They take the lead 1-0 against Sporting Lisbon. And some breaking news, Dante Exum, who was waived by the Houston Rockets and remained unsigned. He has signed with EuroLeague team Barcelona, as had been rumoured, and that is now official, though, through until February 28 for the Boomer player there, Dante Exum. But we're talking footy with a Kia Conversation starter, of course, all thanks to the Kia Sportage medium SUV, which has been unleashed. Find out more at kia.com/au. Off the text, can we talk about the cricket? It isn't footy season. It's day one of the Ashes. Well, we have spent plenty of time talking about the cricket already, and the last hour is fully devoted to the cricket. We're going to talk to Craig McDermott. We're going to talk to the Barmy Army, if you don't mind, local branch thereof.
Jared's going to join
Jared Waitley
us.
Will
be
amazing. In the studio, which will be amazing.
We did spend the first hour speaking about cricket as well. We've got to go
we dusted off the highlight reel.
Podcast.
We talked John Dyson, for heaven's sake, so that's how far back we're at. That's okay. We just thought I'd put that out there. Billy's called in about Jake Lever. He's in Ascot Vale. Thanks for waiting on the line there, Billy boy.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Good morning. Yeah, that previous text, I just tell them to relax. Football 24/7, 7 days a week. So, cricket done. Anyway, guys, just regarding Jake Lever, look, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, or nothing to do with for or against, but I've heard some rumours that the fainting is actually a side effect from his vaccine. I don't know how true it is or not, because I don't know if heat stroke is at 26 degrees, it's heat stroke, and for a fairly fit young guy, but... As I said, I'm not for or against, but I've just heard some rumours that it was a side effect of the vaccine. So I just don't know if you've heard anything.
Slippery slope, this one, Billy. You're right. No, I've seen the whispers on Twitter as well. I can only say there are absolutely zero facts to give that any sort of credence. I'm not saying it's true or not true, just no meat to put on that bone. Although, just speculating for a moment, Kane, he would have been fully vaccinated a while ago and he wouldn't be eligible for his booster. So I can't see how he would have only just got his second jab.
It would have been a long time ago. There's the anti-vaxxers sort of dying off any sort of thing that they can grasp onto. But he did speak to Channel 9 after that pre-season mishap on Monday. He says he's fine. Let's have a listen.
I promise you I'm fine. Yeah, no, I went too hard too early. Ran too fast on the first two runs.
There you go. Simple as that. You reckon? I think he's doing a press conference tomorrow, isn't he? So he'd just be embarrassed as a player, wouldn't he?
Well, not uncommon for players to faint on day one of pre-season, particularly if you're not quite prepared, or as we saw Melbourne put you through a particularly taxing session and something that the players might not have been exactly prepared for.
So he's doing a press conference today, and yeah, probably a bit unlucky. It was caught on Vision. North Melbourne have got an injury concern. It's for Aiden Bonner, who's going to be sidelined from full pre-season training for up to 3 months. Another bad luck tale for him. He aggravated an old wrist injury at training last week. So he had that ankle injury last year. In fact, he was in the top three of the Sid Barker medal, Kane, at the end of round six. But then that ankle injury got in the way a couple of weeks later and he didn't get back until later on in the year. He did have a slight injury to that wrist in round five. Wasn't enough to sideline him at the time, North Melbourne are saying. He was fine heading into the pre-season, training without issue until an incident in a drill last week sort of aggravated that old injury, and he had surgery on Monday. So that's a blow for him.
The last thing you need, I guess the only blessing to it is a wrist injury or a hand injury, you can still remain extremely fit. So they'll have him out there. His conditioning won't suffer, but just the ball work and things like that. And his record in terms of injury is not great, as you said. So hopefully it's the last injury that he suffers, because he's had a rough run.
The AFL's returning to the top end in 2022, and we might even get the AFL fixture by the end of this week, Kane.
When's that happening?
It sounds like. Well,
put your finger on the pulse.
Yeah, it was supposed to be late November. COVID sort of pushed it back a little bit as well, the uncertainty there in WA. So we're led to believe by the end of this week, but you'd be reluctant to put any sort of timeline on something like the AFL fixture. But some little snippets are seeping out. So Territorians are going to get three live games up there. Now, one of them, the league have confirmed, will be Hawthorn, who play Gold Coast at TIO Stadium to celebrate Sir Doug Nicholls' round, and that will be in round 11. It'll actually be the first time in Hawthorn's history that they'll play for premiership points in Darwin. Now, they put it up on Instagram yesterday, the footy club, and it had a comment, in fact, two comments from a legend of that club, Cyril Rioli. Now, his comment, a lot of people are trying to decipher, reads, 10 years of service to this football club, zero pre-season games, zero Sir Douglas games. I retired 3 years ago, and two games in 2 years is scheduled to play up there. I see you, Mob. That was his first comment. His second comment, no hate, just facts.
That's the problem with, you know, even a text message or a social media comment, is you can't understand the full context of the person that's writing it. So until Cyril speaks, we're not completely clear. You would have to think, though, he thinks that they neglected that part of Australia when he was there, is what I take from it. And it's, you know, we've seen an invitation for him to return to the footy club that he's denied at a certain point. I just find it sad when absolute legends, we saw it with Andrew McLeod and the Adelaide Football Club, aren't completely on the same page as their footy club. And there's, I don't know, some sort of animosity there. There must be a level of that with Cyril and the Hawthorn Footy Club. I just, you know, the overwhelming emotion is sadness that it does end this way. And I don't want to go back for whatever reason.
Because you'd like to see him celebrate it now. You'd like to see him get along, be a part of it, and celebrate the progress that is being made. But it looks as though he's not ready to do that at this point in time, which is a real shame of it. Speaking of shames, Jacob Townsend, in fact, he signed for Southport Sharks, I saw overnight. I was pretty sad when I heard that he'd pulled the pin yesterday. It was made official anyway. An absolute roller coaster of a career, wasn't it? The highest of highs and the lowest of lows. If you go back over the timeline of things, have a listen to this. He was his own selection at GWS, fell out of favour, traded to Richmond, delisted and re-rookied by Richmond. A year later, delisted by Richmond for good. Joins Essendon in the supplemental selection period. Delisted by Essendon. Rookied by Gold Coast. Delisted by Gold Coast. Overlooked by Gold Coast in the rookie draft. Invited to train on, but turned that down to call it quit. So at the end of that, Kane, 62 games, 10 years, 4 clubs. What an amazing journey.
Oh, it is. And we celebrate the superstars of the game and those that win all these achievements. What is equally impressive is the journeyman. And we've seen them over the years. And send us through your temper text. But 10 years, 62 games, 6 games a year across, what was it, 3 clubs with all those bits and pieces that you... There you go. And we're gonna, I think we're going to speak to him, aren't we?
We're going to speak to him tomorrow, which will be great. He actually did an interview with Cal Toomey on the AFL website yesterday, which is a great read. And there's an anecdote there, because he'll be forever remembered by Richmond fans for that late 2017 blitzkrieg, won't he, when he just caught fire, broke into Richmond's team. Now, Dimmer tells him, Cal reported here, in round 22 when he came in, all he needed to do was kick 6. Towner, all you need to do is go out there and kick 6 and you'll stay in. And that's exactly what happened. He did kick 6, and then he kicked 5, kept his spot all the way through to the drought-breaking premiership where he kicked 2 in the win over the Crows.
It was that Carlton fans remember, the player that they had, nicknamed Rhino.
Luke O'Sullivan.
That's it, who was just one of those journeymen. I'm not sure in terms of... He played 50 games, I think, after a long period of time. But those players that... scrap and fight and toil and great clubmen don't get the massive amount of games but have a huge impact on the clubs that they're at. So if you've got a favourite one of those, I played with a guy called Toby Thurstons who was instrumental in our premiership and just stuck around for 10 years. It took him 5 years to get his first game. It was extraordinary.
I went to school with Emu. He was an absolute pest, Toby Thurston. So he would have been right at home in that environment. You know, I was rapt that he got that premiership and kicked a few snags too on the day. He'll forever have that, the big Emu. He didn't have a future at school, I can tell you that much. He was an absolute pest. Right, time for the 7:30 news headlines. I know he's not listening. We're off to get him a cafe coffee. We're back with more shortly on Summer Breakfast. Welcome back to Summer Breakfast, Champions League score update. If you don't want to know them, then just turn us off for a second. AC Milan lead Liverpool 1-0. Ajax have had their game against Sporting Lisbon levelled 1-1. The Portuguese have squared it up. Real Madrid still up 1-0 against Inter. And Borussia Dortmund lead Besiktas 1-0. Toby Thurston's, we just left the conversation on, Kane. Your old teammate, my old schoolmate. I've always wondered something, and Nathan's plucked this out, a bit of audio for us. Now, you might not know the answer to this, but when everyone goes up to receive their premiership medal, it's a very special moment. I mean, it's a lifetime's work for a lot of people, a lifetime's dream since you're a kid. You're up there on the dais with your medal. You might never get back there again. You want to commemorate it and remember it for absolute ever. It's a special moment. You never get it back. This was Toby Thurston's on the podium in 04.
Cat dog.
What was that?
Well, he's been asked about this a few times, I believe. So I believe it was a Nickelodeon show and there was a character that was half cat, half dog.
Right.
Now, why he chose to...
Is that a dare or something?
At that moment, I think it was a dare. I think it's...
I can't remember
the town that Toby Thurston's grew up. Might have been
Crib Point.
Crib Point.
Not a town you sort of go out of the way to visit, to be honest.
I think he had some rough and ready mates in Crib Point that may have dared him to say that in that moment. So, yeah, not his... Maybe not his finest. It wasn't a Shane Crawford moment, was it?
It wasn't you were wrong or anything like that either.
Here it is.
It wasn't here it is. No, it wasn't Paul Roos's here it is.
Here it is!
It was cat dog.
Cat dog.